Mabad. So now we continue with our discussion of Hulyatu Talib al-Ilm, the manners in seeking the knowledge from this booklet or small book by Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd. Very quickly, we said that in regard to the adab or the character that should be satisfied in the seeker of knowledge within himself, we said that first of all, knowledge or al-ilmu ibadah, knowledge is an act of worship, or it should be understood and taken as an act of worship with all the requirements of the act of worship applicable to it. Second, one should be according to the Salaf in seeking the knowledge and following it, that is, seeking it according to the way of the Salaf. Third, one should be adherent to fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mulazamatu khashyatillahi ta'ala. Number four, dawamul muraqabah, which means he should be always watchful of Allah's closeness and the surveillance over him, and that he knows everything that he shows or hides, and therefore his actions should be in accordance with this understanding. So he should have both a combination of fearing Allah and hoping in him. Alhamdulillah. And number five, did we mention number five? Not yet? Okay. So now we get to number five, inshallah. Number five, خفض الجناح ونبذ الخيلاء والكبرياء. The one who is seeking the knowledge should be humble himself, and he should never have any pride or arrogance in himself. خفض الجناح. Humbling himself. Be humble. ونبذ الخيلاء والكبرياء. نبذ الخيلاء والكبرياء. You write number five? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so that they will remember all of them. Inshallah, you can write the rest later. But you can write five now. خفض الجناح ونبذ الخيلاء والكبرياء. Humbling oneself and rejecting or avoiding arrogance and pride. So he says, تحل بآداب النفس من العفاف والحلم والصبر والتواضع للحق وسكون الطائر من الوقار والرزانة وخفض الجناح متحملا ذل التعلم لعزة العلم دليلا للحق. He says, beautify yourself by the manners that are relevant to the soul, to your soul, that is, beautify your soul with certain manners, among which are al-afaf, which means purity. Afif means a person who is pure from any doubts or shubha, any doubts that he is committing something wrong in his actions, in his transactions, in money and so on. والحلم, patience. والصبر, حلم means patience when people are being angry to him or doing things that, you know, would normally cause a weak person or an easily angered person to get angry. So just to be halim in their regard, which means to pass that without allowing it to affect his actions. Al-Hilm. Wa-Sabr. Sabr means patience and perseverance. Wa-Tawada. Lil-Haq. Humbling oneself for the truth. Wa-Sukun al-Ta'ir. And to be as quiet as a bird. No. But this is, yeah, it's still under the same section he's bringing these. And he means in a sitting like this, you be quiet like a bird in a sitting of seeking the knowledge. من الوقار والرزانة, to be, you know, stable. وخفض الجناح, humble with the other Muslims, with the with those who are learning with you. متحملا ذل التعلم لعزة العلم, accepting the humility of seeking the knowledge for the sake of the honor of the knowledge. Okay, درين الحق, and being humble for the truth. وعليه فاحذر نواقض هذه الآداب, therefore beware of the things that break or oppose such manners. فإنها مع الإثم تقيم على نفسك شاهدا على أن في العقل علة. Because even though in addition to the sin of doing anything opposing to these things, it also proves, or it becomes like a witness, that there is some weakness in the mind, in your mind. وعلى حرمان من العلم والعمل به, and that you are lacking of the knowledge, in the knowledge or in acting upon it. فإياك والخيلاء, and avoid totally خيلاء, arrogance. فإنه نفاق وكبرياء. الخيلاء, it's not exactly arrogance, it is no, to act in a way that shows arrogance, which means to dress in a certain way that appear, it shows arrogance. Some people, you know, there are some clothes that show arrogance. Something bright, you know, a bright suit, like, you know, some of the dressing in white? No, not white. No, but you know, some people, if you see them, they wear suits which are bright, like gold and bright. You see them from distance.
Shiny.
It stands out. Something like that. So tuxedos, I mean, for the kuffar. These things are khuyala, but there are similar things in the dressing of Muslims, in the past, or the Muslims, for the some Muslims in the past, there used to be things like that. And this is all khuyala. Or it could be in the walk. A person would walk, you know, like this. You know? Yeah, exactly. That's some of that, exactly. So they walk and dress in a khuyala, which means they show off in their way of action and walking. And as the Prophet ﷺ said in one of the battles, when he was looking at Abu Dujana, he was walking in such a way that, you know, show that he is very pleased with himself, and you know, he was trying to scare the enemies, showing, you know, that he is a strong hero and so on. And the Prophet ﷺ said, this is mishya, this walking, way of walking, Allah hates it except in this situation. هذه مشية يبغضها الله إلا في هذا الموضع. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا. Do not walk on earth with marah, which means with this kind of arrogance. So khuyala means arrogance by action. And this is, normally it reflects arrogance in the heart. Kibr or kibriya. فإنه نفاق وكبرياء, it is hypocrisy and arrogance. Not necessarily, yeah. Yeah, this is an action of arrogance, and that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla hates it. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا فَهَذِي مِشْيَةٌ يُبْغِضُهَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. It could be. Could be, I don't know. I mean, we need to get all the... I don't know what you're talking about, sir. Oh, that one. I don't know. I mean, it's now commonly dressed or worn, that it's not. الله أعلم. وقد بلغ من شدة التوقي منه عند السلف مبلغا ومن دقيقه ما أسنده الذهبي في ترجمة الذهبي في ترجمة عمرو بن الأسود العنسي أو العنس المتوفى في خلافة عبد الملك بن مروان, أنه كان إذا خرج من المسجد قبض بيمينه على شماله فسئل عن ذلك فقال مخافة أن تنافق يدي. This is, you know, exaggerated a little bit, but he says that the Salaf used to be very careful not to do actions of khuyala, which means that their actions are actions of arrogance, even their mere walking the way they walk. So one of the Salaf, whose name is Amr ibn al-Aswad, and I don't think he could have been one of the Sahaba, but I doubt it. He died during the Khilafah of Abdul Malik bin Marwan. They used to see when he comes out from the masjid holding his hands together as he walked. And they asked him why. He said, fearing that my hands would become hypocritical in their actions, which means, you know, he doesn't want to let his hands swing, because this sometimes causes this walk of marah, of, you know, zuhu and kibriya, arrogance in his walk. So he said, مَخَافَةَ أَن تُنَافِقَ يَدِي. قلت يمسكها خوفا من أن يخطر بيده في مشيته فإن ذلك من الخيلاء. This is the saying of Zahabi. He is explaining why he would hold his hands like this. وهذا العارض عرض العنسي رحمه الله. So that was something that العنسي feared to happen to him. واحذر داء الجبابرة الكبر. And beware of the disease of the oppressors, or the what's jababira, the tyrants. Beware of the disease of the tyrants, which is kibr, arrogance, the true arrogance of the heart, that is. فإن الكبر والحرص والحسد أول ذنب عصي الله به. Arrogance and seeking the personal benefit and envy, these matters, hirs, these are the first sin by which Allah Azza wa Jal was disobeyed. Which means, you know, Iblis, when he disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal, why did he disobey him? Because he was arrogant first. He thought he is better than him, أنا خير من. And he had hirs, he was concerned about his own well-being. He thought, I am better than him, I deserve more, I deserve better. Wal hasad, and he had envy, he saw something for somebody, something good with someone, he wanted it for him, his own self. So these are all evils and aspects of disease that have led Iblis to the disobedience. فَتَطَوُلُكَ عَلَى مُعَلِّمِكَ كِبْرِيًا. To be disrespectful to your teacher is an act of arrogance. وَاسْتِنْكَافُكَ عَمَّنْ يُفِيدُكَ مِمَّنْ هُوَ دُونَكَ كِبْرِيًا. And also to reject, to accept a benefit from those who are under you in knowledge or status, this is also arrogance. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ says, الْكِبْرُ بَطَرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ. Kibr, arrogance, is batar al-haq, to refuse to accept the truth and to belittle people, wa ghamtunnas. Wa taqsiruka 'an al-'amali bil-'ilmi hama'atu kibrin wa 'inwanu hirman. And to avoid or to not act upon your knowledge is a source of arrogance and a proof that you are lacking a great deal. He brings here a poetry which reflects the same meaning, a line of poetry. He says, العلم حرب للفتى المتعالي كالسيل حرب للمكان العالي. The last point, وعنوان حرمان, it's a proof of lacking. خفض الجناح. We are still under the same point, which is خفض الجناح ونبذ الخيلاء والكبرياء. It's still number 5. أي جملة منهم؟ أي واحدة منهم؟ آخر واحدة؟ واحذر داء الجبابرة الكبر فإن الكبر والحرص والحسد أول ذنب عصي الله به. فتطاولك على معلمك كبرياء واستنكافك عمن يفيدك ممن هو دونك كبرياء وتقصيرك عن العمل بالعلم حماءة كبر وعنوان حرمان. فالزم رحمك الله اللصوق إلى الأرض والإزراء على نفسك وهضمها. So he says, therefore, work hard or put an effort to or adhere to sticking to the earth, which means to be totally humble. والإزراء على نفسك, and to be hard upon yourself, and to neglect its desires, that is. وهضمها, do not give it what it wants. ومراغمتها عند الاستشراف لكبرياء, and to degrade it when it appears wishing for arrogance. You know, because our souls from time to time try to be arrogant and to be too pleased with them, with ourselves. So when you find that, push it down, put it down, let it down. أو غطرسة أو حب ظهور, or when it seeks to appear, to show off, and so on. أو عجب أو نحو ذلك من آفات العلم القاتلة له. You know, any act of arrogance that you see in yourself, then these are diseases that would destroy the knowledge. So do not let this happen in yourself. ونحو ذلك من آفات العلم القاتلة له المذهبة لهيبته المطفئة لنوره. They go away, such actions go away with the destroy the knowledge, go away with its you know, nice appearance or glory, and extinguish its light. وكلما ازددت علما أو رفعة في ولاية فالزم ذلك تحرز سعادة عظمى ومقاما يغبطك عليه الناس. And as you increase in knowledge or in position, then continue to have this kind of action. So do not let your rising in knowledge or position make you arrogant. If you do that, then inshallah you will be in a position where people would be wish that they were in. And Abdullah ibn al-Imam al-Hujjah al-Rawiyah في الكتب الستة, بكر بن عبد الله المزني رحمهم الله تعالى قال سمعت إنسانا يحدث عن أبي أنه كان واقفا بعرفة فرق, فقال لولا أني فيهم لقلت قد غفر لهم. خرجه الذهبي. ثم قال قلت كان ينبغي للعبد أن يزري على نفسه ويهضمه, كذلك ينبغي للعبد أن يزري على نفسه ويهضمه. عبد الله, the son of Imam al-Hujjah, the one who reported or whose reports are included in the six books, which means Bukhari, Muslim, and the four Sunan, Bakr bin Abdullah al-Muzani. So he reported, so Abdullah, who is the son of Bakr bin Abdullah al-Muzani, rahimahum Allah, he said, I heard a person reporting from my father that he was standing in Arafah. Faraq, which means his heart became tender, he was crying and so on and saying things, making dua. And he said, then when he found that in himself, he said, if I was not among these people, I would have said with certitude that they are forgiven. Which means that realizing, knowing myself and my sins, I would say that if it was not for me, all these people would be forgiven now, because, you know, of how he was feeling, what he was saying or was said and so on, that Allah will forgive him. But he does not allow, he does not want to allow himself to think that it is, you know, because of him or that he deserves the forgiveness. So even when he gets to this position, he puts himself down. So that's how a person should deal with himself. And and as the poet said, وَالنَّفْسُكَ الطِّفْلِ إِن تَتْرُكْهُ شَبَّ عَلَى حُبِّ الرَّضَاعِ وَإِن تَفْطِمْهُ يَنْفَطِمِ. This means our souls are like a baby. If you if you leave it alone, it would grow up loving to continue to nurse, to suckle. But if you make the palm for him, which means if you, what's the word for it? Uh, No, there's a word for it. Wean him. If you wean him, he will wean. Okay? But wean with an M. If you wean him, he will wean. Which means, you know, that's how we should treat ourselves. We should not let it go its way. We should always force it, suppress it, suppress it, suppress it. Because otherwise, it likes to be arrogant, it likes to be high, it likes to be haughty, and so on. And that is how. So Imam al-Zahabi says, in comment on this, he says, كَذَلِكَ يَنْبَغِي لِلْعَبْدِ أَنْ يُزْرِيَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ وَيَعْضِمَهَا. This is how an abd should be, forcing, suppressing himself, and humiliating it, or something like that. So we learned here that one should be totally humble, and of course that's not with the disbelievers. He should be humble with the believers. He should be humble. He should humble himself for the seeking of knowledge in front of Allah Azza wa Jal with the believers and so on. The second one is al-qana'at wa-zuhd. Al-qana'at wa-zuhd, which means to be satisfied with what he's given, wa-zahada, which means he should not be concerned about the worldly matters. Actually, we have a saying, a famous poet in Arabic now by Farid, what's his name? Ahmad Shawqi, his name? It says, Ahmad Shawqi. Yeah, all that, yeah, the saying, there's a saying which says, من علمني حرفا كنت له عبدا, the one who teaches me even one letter, I am his slave. So, yeah, this is a little exaggerated, but you know, when you are respecting a non-Muslim teacher or a fasiq teacher, that is, you are respecting, he's not teaching you the knowledge of Islam, first of all. And you are talking here about the knowledge of Islam. You are talking about seeking the knowledge of Islam. And then your respect is not, in that case, is not a respect for, huh? It's not a respect for him, for himself, for his deen, but a being polite to in your dealing with the kuffar in general, like you are dealing with a kafir in the store or anywhere, you are polite with them. You do not want to show the picture of a Muslim being disrespectful or impolite or unstable or ill-mannered, etc., etc. Yeah. Yeah, but we are talking about the respect that you give to a teacher who's teaching Islam. Al-qana'at wa-zahada, we said this means to be satisfied with what we are given and not to seek or run after the worldly affairs or worldly matters. He says here, the truth of zuhd, haqiqat al-zuhd, al-zuhd bil-haram wal-ibtiadu an-himah, bil-kaffi an-mushtabahat wa an-tatallu'i ila ma fi aydi al-nas. This is said by Ta'lim al-Mutallim al-Zarnuji, one of the scholars, his name is Zarnuji, has a book called Ta'lim al-Mutallim, so he took this from him, which means zuhd, to renounce things, renounce the worldly matters. The definition of it is الزهد بالحرام, which means to renounce the haram, والابتعاد عنهما, and to stay away, clear from being close to it, close to its borders. بالكف عن المشتبهات, which means to stay away or to stop, avoid doing the doubtful matters, وعن التطلع إلى ما في أيدي الناس, and to looking at what is in the people's hands. That is what people have, what people own, and so on. You want to have the same. This is what you should avoid, and this is zuhd. التطلع إلى ما في أيدي الناس means to look with desire at what they have. To wish to have what they have, yeah. Well, regardless, what's in their hands, which means of the worldly matters. So somebody has a big house, somebody has a nice car, somebody has a big position, high position, and a big salary, etc. So you say, I wish that I have the same. So you start wishing for these things. That is, you need to have zuhud, which means not to wish for these things. Right. So he's giving the definition of zuhud. Zuhud, first of all, is to stay away clear from haram and from doubtful matters, and from seeking what people own, to get things, or wishing, desiring what is in the hands of people. It doesn't mean, it doesn't mean it's haram if you see somebody who has something nice, and without envying him, you wish that you have the same. It's not haram, but it's not zuhud. Zuhud is a high rank that one, when he reaches it, when he does not, desire the worldly matters, then he has indeed attained a great level of taqwa. Allahu Akbar. The hadith. Yeah. That's not a hadith. Part of it is a hadith. It says, do not look at those who are above you, but look at those who are below you, because that is more apt that you do not belittle Allah's bounty on you. Yeah. طيب so وعليه فليكن معتدلا في معاشه بما لا يشينه. So thus one should be reasonable in the way he lives, in such a manner that it does not make it look, lacking or ugly or bad. بحيث يصون نفسه ومن يعود. So that he would support or protect himself and those who depend on him. وَلَا يَرِدُ مَوَاطِنَ الذِّلَّةِ وَالْهَوْمِ. And so that he would not be pushed into situations of humility and dependence, that is. Which means, if a person wants to be zahid, doesn't mean that he should be dependent on others, relying on others, begging others. But he should be moderate and at the same time independent from others, but not let the affairs of the world be his main and major and sole concern. He describes Muhammad Amin al-Shinqiti. This Shaykh, Bakr Abu Zayd, one of his teachers is Shaykh Muhammad Amin al-Shinqiti rahimahullah, who is a famous scholar, and he is the one who wrote, he's one of the Mufassirin of our time. He wrote a book on Tafsir of Quran. He died in 1393, which means about 24 years ago. He says, our Shaykh Muhammad Amin al-Shinqiti, who died in such and such year, كان متقللا من الدنيا وقد شاهدته لا يعرف فئات العملة الورقية. He says, my Shaykh, he did not know, he would not care about this life. And I found him not knowing the difference between the various banknotes. And he told me, لَقَدْ جِئْتُ مِنَ الْبِلَادِ شَنْقِيط وَمَعِي كَنْزِ قَلَّ أَنْ يُوجَدْ عِنْدَ أَحَدٍ. He said, I came from Shanqit. You know Shanqit? It is in the general area of Russia and you know what's, I don't know the exact. Mauritania? Oh, the other wild side of the world. It's in Mauritania, which means close to where they are. North Africa, right? North Africa. So he came from Shanqit and he said, I had a treasure with me. Now they still know there are several scholars over there in Saudi Arabia who are Shanqiti Shanaqita, who came and settled in Mecca and أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد. So in our discussion of the matter that a seeker of knowledge should attempt to fulfill in himself, so that the seeking of the knowledge would be, inshallah, successful and pure. We covered many of them, and I'll go very quickly over them to, as a reminder. The first one was that seeking the knowledge, to remember that seeking the knowledge is a worship, to deal with it as an act of worship, and to look at it like that, so that a person would treat it like he would treat any other worship, which means one should treat it with sincerity, with ikhlas, which is to seek the knowledge with sincerity, which means it should be done purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for any worldly purpose or any worldly gain. And the second, and also in regard to this, that it should be done in accordance with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And according to the way of the Salaf radiallahu anhum, of the Sahaba and their true followers. And then it should be, one should have the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal in his heart at all the times, and especially when he is seeking the knowledge. And fearing Allah Azza wa Jal is actually one of the important features, distinctive features of knowledge, or of the knowledgeable persons, that they are those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعَلَمَاءِ, which means those among Allah's servants who fear Him are only the knowledgeable ones. So the knowledgeable ones are the only ones who fear Allah Azza wa Jal, and anyone who does not fear Allah Azza wa Jal does not have knowledge. No matter how much he compiles of the knowledge in his brain or whatever, but that does not make him a true knowledgeable person, a true alim about what he is created for, what is his purpose in life, who is Allah Azza wa Jal, his creator, and how he's supposed to behave with him. He doesn't have any of this knowledge, the one who does not fear Allah Azza wa Jal. So knowledge is and fear are close companions that cannot be separated from each other. If one of them is taken, the other is gone. If knowledge is not there, there is no fear, and if there is no fear, that means there is no knowledge. Okay, so they must be present at the same time. And there are statements by many, many scholars of Islam through the time that who say, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ, which means knowledge is nothing but fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we mentioned the quality of muraqabah, which means that a person should always be watchful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in his actions he should be aware of his presence, of his closeness, of his watchfulness over him, so that he would do everything with this understanding. He would be aware of Allah's closeness, whether in open or in secret, and seeking Allah's pleasure and obedience with the balance between two wings, you can call them as he called them here, which are the wing of fear and the wing of hope. And then the next quality that you mentioned is that a person should be humble, should drop all aspects of arrogance and pride, and should humble himself for the knowledge, for the people who are teaching him the knowledge, for his companions who are seeking the knowledge with him. Okay, so he should be totally humble in seeking the knowledge. He should not, you know, look at himself with arrogance. The more he knows and learns, the more boastful he becomes about it. No, he should realize, a true seeker of knowledge would realize that the more knowledge he has, he would have more realization of how little he knows compared to what he ignores. The more one learns, the more he realizes how much more he has to learn. The ignorant people, they don't realize what they are missing, so they think they know enough about everything. But as one starts knowing, he starts realizing his deficiency, and therefore this should lead him to be more and more humble. And as I've heard our Shaykh Al-Albani, hafizahullah, in some of his statements, he was asked if he is a alim, and he said, "I am only ma ana illa tuwaylibayim." He said, "I am only a little seeker of knowledge." He didn't say talib alim, he said tuwaylibayim. "I am a very tiny seeker of knowledge," he described himself with this. And that is how a person should look at himself, not only describe himself, because words are not enough. If it is not in the heart, so one should have this in his heart, that I am nothing, my knowledge is nothing, and that I should always seek more knowledge so that I can be more obedient, so that I can use it all in obeying Allah Azza wa Jal and in fulfilling His commands. The other quality, this last quality that we previously discussed was qana'a wa zuhd, which means that person should be satisfied with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him, and should renounce the worldly matters, you know, to the worldly gains, the worldly pleasures, for the sake of knowledge. To be pleased with what Allah Azza wa Jalla gave him, regardless of how much it is. So he should be, he should not be extravagant in the way he lives, or what he wears, what he eats, and so on. Especially when that, if he is not, that would cause him to be to degrade himself for the sake of the material things. So he would go and beg from people and borrow from them unnecessarily, for the sake of improving his worldly status, because he is not satisfied, he does not accept what Allah has given him with submission and satisfaction. The next quality that he mentions here is التحلي برونق القلب, which means that a person should take as his quality, the thing that beautifies him should be the beauty of knowledge, which means he should apply the description of knowledgeable people, the way that they should appear in his appearance. So a seeker of knowledge, for example, I mean, to just give an extreme description, he wouldn't be a person that you would see him wearing shorts, for example, going around with shorts and what do you call them? Cut off sleeves, sleeveless, what? Muscle shirts? Muscle shirts. This is not a beautifying thing to the, this is not carrying the scent or the appearance of knowledge. One should carry the appearance of knowledge in himself, of the, or the secrets of knowledge in himself. And this is a degrading thing to him as a seeker of knowledge to appear like that, to show the appearance of some other people that we know that they are not the seekers of knowledge. So التحلي برونق العلم حسن السمت والهدي الصالح. So to beautify himself with the beauty of knowledge, which is حسن السمت, the good appearance, والهدي الصالح, and the good manners or the good actions, the you know, virtuous appearance and actions, من دوام السكينة, so that he would be known to be quiet, والوقار, respectful, والخشوع, humbleness, الخشوع والتواضع, serenity, you know, humbleness, لزوم المحجة بعمارة الظاهر والباطن والتخلي عن نواقضهما, so that he would adhere to the true path by building up, and now being very literal in translating, by building up his apparent and his hidden thing or being, which means that what he shows or what he displays or what he hides should be beautified with this beauty of the knowledge, which is what we mentioned. It's not, you know, something that, you know, he wears things which are attractive to the eyes, or bright clothing or anything like that, or put on some jewelry to make him look beautiful. This is not what it means. It means that there are certain qualities that reflect a person of knowledge, a person who is carrying the knowledge in his heart, so therefore it appears in his actions. And that is by being quiet, by being patient, by being respectful, by being calm, by having good and virtuous qualities appear in his actions as well as are hidden in his heart. والتخلي عن نواقضها, and also by dropping anything that conflicts with this. ابن سيرين رحمه الله said, كانوا يتعلمون الهدي كما يتعلمون العلم. He said, they used, he's talking about them, which means since Ibn Sirin was of the Tabi'in, therefore he's talking about the Sahaba and maybe the more senior Tabi'in of his time. So he said, they used to learn al-Hadi, which means the practice, the appearance, the way that they would walk and act, as they used to learn the knowledge, which means they go together. One should have the appearance of knowledge as well as the knowledge itself in himself. وعن رجاء بن حيوة رحمه الله تعالى أنه قال رجل حدثنا ولا تحدثنا عن متماوت ولا طعام. He said to somebody, to a man, he said, tell us, which means report to us something, some reports from knowledgeable people, but do not report to us from somebody mutamawit, which means someone who shows himself like he is dead, which means he is a lazy person who thinks that by laziness this is a display of knowledge or an appearance of knowledge. Or ta'an, a person who attacks or talks about other people. Allahumma al-Khatib al-Jama'. So al-Khatib al-Baghdadi mentioned these two reports from Ibn Sirin and this Raja ibn Haywa in al-Jama', and he said, يجب على طالب الحديث أن يتجنب اللعب والعبث. يجب على طالب الحديث أن يتجنب اللعب والعبث والتبذل في المجالس. The seeker of knowledge should avoid being playful. لعب. Playful means, you know, to go out of the way to be, you know, always playing instead of being serious. والعبث. عبث also to do things which are, you know, little things that are also playful things, like playing with the stones, playing with things, or with words, making jokes about people and so on. والتبذل, and to say things which are offensive or not respectful in the settings of people. Like people sit and then he starts saying ugly things, ugly jokes, backbiting, or saying things of harm to others. بالسخف والضحك والقهقهة وكثرة التنادم. By saying silly things and laughing loud and قهقهة. قهقهة in Arabic means laughing with very audible loud laughs. وكثرة التنادم and to say lots of jokes. وإدمان المزاح والإكثار منه and to be addicted to joking and to say it in plenty. فإنما يستجاز من المزاح بيسيره ونادره وطريفه. Because what is acceptable of joking is only that which is little, not frequent and rare, and what is, you know, tarif. Tarif means something which is exceptional in meaning, in benefit. Maybe it will bring some useful knowledge or remind of something useful. والذي لا يخرج عن حد الأدب وطريقة العلم, and that which does not go beyond the level of adab, of manners, and the way of knowledge. And we know, you know, the example that have been reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about his joking were jokes that were, I mean, as is described here, that they were first rare, and then when he said them, it was to please a little kid, for example, by saying some nice words to him, or to remind about something that people may forget about, a lesson that comes out from that joke. Like when he said to the old woman that no old woman will enter the Jannah, and she was very sad, and she said, how, why is that? To Allah's Messenger. And then he told her, because Allah says إِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَاهُنَّ إِنْشَاءَ فَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبْكَارَ, which means we turn them into young virgins. So he reminded, he laughed and he told her this. So his joke was to remind her of something that she may have not have noticed or realized in the Quran. فأما متصله وفاحشه وسخيفه وما أغر منه الصدور وجلب الشر فإنه مذموم. As for joking which is connected, that means it becomes like, comes one after the other after the other, because you sit with some people and they start, you know, saying joke, one joke after the next, third, etc. So it becomes like a continuous joking sitting instead of something which is more, you know, quiet and respectful. وفاحشه, and that which uses bad words or tells about bad things, you know, some private things, some things that, and سخيفه, that which has to be with silly things. وما أغر من الصدور, and that which causes the hearts to become hard or to become unhappy because of what was said about them or about others. وجلب الشر, and that which brings evil. All of this is not acceptable, or إنه مذموم, which means is blamed or blameworthy. وكثرة المزاح والضحك يضع من القدر ويزيل من الله. And joking plentifully is, and laughing also a lot, puts down of the level of people and removes muru'ah. Muru'ah is a word that I don't think there is a an equivalent word for it in English. Some people explain it as how is it? I think Abu Muslim, I heard that he was giving a series of lectures from the book of Salman, what's his name? Mashur Hassan Salman. He has a book about Murua wa Khawarimuha, a big book which tells about Murua. And Murua, I think he translates it as manhood, which means the qualities which make the man a true man, or make him, you know, respectful as a true man. So I think he uses the word manhood for that. And whether it is this or some other word, but it means what I explained, that you should find the man, and that if he drops some of them, then that reduces of his murua. So if a person, for example, you find him always joking, then this reduces his murua. If the person has you know, a very tiny beard or no beard, that is also something that removes his murua. We are talking on the level in the mind of the people who of knowledge and of the scholars. If a person you know, wears tight clothes, for example, or bright colors, then that removes, induces of his murua. If a person eats while he is standing or walking, that removes of his murua. So sometimes there are things that are not necessarily prohibited by a text, but there are a collection of qualities that the scholars have accepted with time as being qualities of respect, and that the person who does not fulfill them, or who fulfills the opposite to them, is a person who has a less amount or level of murua. For example, you would not expect a great scholar to be walking in the streets, you know, chewing gum. That's considered a reduction of the murua, of this quality, even though it's not prohibited. But why? Because it shows that the person is always, you know, moving his jaws, eating. Eating to him is something like a quality of a beloved thing to do all the time, and it is like, you know, it reminds of some animals that always, you know, they are revisiting the food in their stomach again and again, and so on. So it has been considered in many countries as being something that a man does not do, to chew gum or to eat, to peel seeds, you know. So it gets to this level in some places, and sometimes it is like a common practice. So it is not like the you cannot say it is the custom of the people, but it is the accepted norm among the students of knowledge and the scholars. So it has to be taken as it is, and it cannot be disregarded as being something that one should avoid such things, because otherwise he will lose his respect among people. They say, what is this? Are you a student of knowledge when you are doing these things, when you are you know, running to the prayer, when you are you come late? You know, there are many things that, you know, together. And as I said, Sheikh Mashur Hassan Salman, he wrote a book which is about 400 or 500 pages, in which he shows that he brings things that the scholars have considered as things that a person should not do, because they would reduce his murua, his manhood, his quality of being a student of knowledge and the seeker of knowledge. Yeah, etiquette, but what etiquette? The etiquette of but you know, all of this is etiquette here that we are talking about, but it is a special kind of etiquette that are not necessarily they do not necessarily have a hadith or an ayah which require them, but they are like acceptable etiquettes by the scholars as being the etiquettes of manhood, that should be present in a man. You know, in some countries, I don't know, I mean, this is not here is not considered anything wrong at all, but in some countries, if you walk with your hands in your pockets, this is considered like an aspect or a sign of laziness, and contrary to manhood, where a man should walk, you know, with his hands on his side. Or if a person, you know, walks dragging his feet, or this is also not considered right. And there are many things, you know, that, as I said, they are compiled. I mean, there is a compilation of all of them, and many of these apply everywhere. Some of them will become, you know, will get to the border where they are questionable whether this is really something that we should worry about or not. But in general, he has this as a separate quality. But for laughing, for a person who becomes more like a joker, person who jokes all the time, laughs all the time, then he loses a lot of his respect and muru'ah from the eyes of others who are, you know, his co-seekers of knowledge or his teachers and so on. وَقَدْ يُقِيلَ مَنْ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ عَرِفَ بِهِ. It has been said that whoever does a lot of a certain thing, it becomes known to him, it becomes like a trademark for him. فتجنب هاتيك السقطات في مجالستك ومحادثتك. So avoid such drop falls or pitfalls in your sittings and in your talks. وبعض من يجهل يظن أن التبسط في هذا أريحية. Some of the ignorant people think that doing a lot of this is like, you know, being friendly and open with people. الأحنف بن قيس said, جنبوا مجالسنا ذكر النساء والطعام. He said, avoid mentioning in our sittings, do not refer to women or food. Because many of the jokes are about women, many of the jokes are about food and eating and things like that. So he said, avoid mentioning these things in our sittings. إني أبغض الرجل يكون وصافا لفرده وبطنه كرجه الذهبي في السيرة. I hate a man to be keen to describe his private parts or his stomach, because that is what it boils down to. وخرج ذهبي في السير, which means سير أعلام النبلاء. ذهبي mentioned في كتابي وفي كتاب المحدث الملهم أمير المؤمنين عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه في القضاء ومن تزين بما ليس فيه شانه الله. He says, Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu says, anyone who decorates himself with that which is not a true quality in him, then Allah would degrade him, shanahullah, or would expose him. And you know, there is a hadith in that regard, there is an ayah in the Quran in that regard, the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, المتشبع بما لم يعطى كلابس الثوب يزول. The one who tries to display that which he was not given or granted, that is, he pretends something that he does not have, is like somebody who is wearing two fake garments or two garments which do not belong to him. And in the ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal says at the end of Surah Al-Imran, إن الذين يحبون أن يحمدوا إن الذين يفرحون بما أتوا ويحبون أن يحمدوا بما لم يفعل. Those who love to be praised with that which they have done, which means they do things for people to praise them. يفرحون بما أتوا. They are boastful about that which they do. And they love to be praised with that which they have not done, which means they pretend. They pretend things and they like people to praise them for them. Then give them the tidings of a great or severe punishment. Why does he mention this here? Because he means that you should have these qualities, this display of the appearance of knowledge, as a true quality on you, in you, not as just pretension. It should sink deep into your self, into your heart, into your action, so that it becomes a true quality that is with you all the time. Otherwise, if a person, if it is not, then it will surface at some time, the opposite of it, the bad things will surface at some times or others. And then the eighth, the other thing that he mentions, number eight here, is تَحَلَّ بِالْمُرُوءَةِ which means التَحَلِّ بِالْمُرُوءَةِ وَمَا يَحْمِلُ إِلَيْهَا مِنْ مَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَطَلَاقَةِ الْوَجْهِ وَإِفْشَاءِ السَّلَامِ مَرُوءَة, we describe what مَرُوءَة is, which means, as I said, some people translate to be manhood, the quality of manhood, and that which guides or leads to it of good manners, وَطَلَاقَةِ الْوَجْهِ, and you know, smiling face, وَإِفْشَاءِ السَّلَامِ, and saying salam frequently, to spreading the salam, وَتَحَمُّلِ النَّاسِ, and to be patient with people, وَالْأَنَفَ مِنْ غَيْرِ كِبْرِيَاءِ, and to be high without arrogance, which means to be high above doing the lowly things, but not to be arrogant, or high above the level of the suqa, or the you know, the common people, because the student of knowledge should not be at the level of common people in his actions and his dealings, but without being arrogant about them. He should be above their actions, some of their actions, but that does not mean that he should be arrogant. وَلَعِزَّةِ مِنْ غَيْرِ جَبَرُوتِ, and to have honor without being oppressive. مُرُوءَة, وَالشَّهَامَةِ مِنْ غَيْرِ عَصَبِيَّةِ, and shahama also to be you know, to honor your descent, to honor your origin, your the whatever it stands for of general.